the same to me.
Yeah, was that by Rockford? Was it by Rockford?
Yeah, I preached up there one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are here at God Quest at the Rock Church. We're in a little different setting, and we actually have a live studio audience. Hello, everybody out there. We have just come from a red hot revival service, and I am delighted to have Pastor Nathaniel Urshan, a dear friend of mine, here with us. He preached an outstanding message tonight. Four or five people got the Holy Ghost that I know of, and we're just basking in the overflow of that. Now, he was here for ulterior motives. He was here stealing saints, you proselytizer. The way he does it is he sends scouts and spies into the land to find out where all the young ladies are that are vulnerable.
I'm afraid they're on to me.
And a young lady in our church married a young man, and he was out here for the wedding and stayed over the weekend. So Durham, we thank you for loaning your pastor to us, and he was a tremendous blessing. And Bray and Joe, I hope you have a wonderful honeymoon when you see this podcast. We're thinking of you, even though you're not thinking of us. But we have just come from a great service. Pastor Urshan, such a delight to have you here with us in Sacramento and on God Quest today.
Well, thank you, Pastor Young. It's an honor to be with you guys and to be able to spend the weekend and fellowship and be in service today. What a blessing. The spirit, the atmosphere of revival. And it's an honor to be with you on God Quest.
Well, I'm honored to have you here. You're the big dog in the apostolic podcast world. If you're not a follower of Biblos, you need to be. It's a wonderful presentation of thought, and it will get you thinking. And Brother Urshan, I'm honored to have you here. And I want us to talk about something that you have some really unique insight into. The very name Urshan speaks of generational apostolic power and ministry. And even though you have been a proponent that God has no grandkids, and everybody's got to get it for themselves, there is blessing tied to generations that get it. Yeah. And you are, without a doubt, a recipient of that, your godly heritage. And now that's going on in Joseph and Benjamin and their ministry. That is beginning, and we're proud of what God's doing in their life. They're getting it for themselves. Mm-hmm. You have had access by your family's connection, as well as your own ministry, to be connected to some really great people. And I, too, in my life as a young man, had the privilege of being connected to many great, great ministries of yesteryear that maybe the generation today hasn't had the privilege. They're just they're a character on YouTube, or even before that, you know, they see a picture or hear a story. So let's begin with the obvious. You are Nathaniel Urshan, named after your grandfather, who was, for my generation, he was an elder. And what a man of God, general superintendent for many, many years, the pastor of Calvary Tabernacle. I mean, a diplomat. One of the highlights of my life was I got to travel with your grandfather on an airplane with the remnants of the Siberian Seven.
Oh, wow.
You remember the Siberian Seven?
I do. Not only do I remember them, you know, I did not, I didn't understand at that time in my life. I was a child. What?
You had to say it that way, didn't you?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you know, you're a little older. I'm a little younger. But at that time, I was a kid, you know. And for those that don't know the Siberian Seven, there were a group of apostolic Russian Christians who ran to the American embassy in the former Soviet Union to seek refuge and asylum. And they holed up in there and asked for help, and they would not release them. People said they could not release them. It would never happen. The Soviets would never allow it to happen. And so Grandpa went over there, and God worked a series of miracles. There's actually some pretty neat stories mm-hmm. about it. And they released him. Well, they came to the United States. It was one of the first times that it had ever happened.
Yeah. And I mean, it made international news, and your grandfather, I mean, covers of magazines, news, national, international newspaper.
It did. So one of the women, her name was Lydia Vestchenko.
Yep.
Later on, looking back at it, what I remember was my babysitter having a funny accent and singing Russian lullabies to me. And it was Lydia Vestchenko.
Wow. I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah.
So my part of the story is your grandfather, people that don't know Nathaniel Urshan, he had a way of getting into the biggest places on the planet. I mean, it was an amazing thing, and my father-in-law can tell some amazing stories about N.A. Urshan and their relationship and stories of incredible things that happened. But I was interning at the time. I was in senior in high school. My uncle was the assistant to one of the state representatives in the state of Louisiana. I was, at that point, I was very interested in politics. I was working in the Capitol. I was competing in national and international speech competitions, Free Taiwan. It's interesting, everything that's going on in the world right now. In high school, I was debating those things.
Wow.
And my boss was not only my uncle, my boss was that state representative, Woody Jenkins. And as a result, he worked with national and international things and got involved on the Christian side, the political side, and negotiated for an airplane to be used to carry these, at least part of that group that had been released from, and we did a tour visiting churches that had prayed and raised support. And so I got to fly on the plane with your grandfather and with the politicians and with those folks that had escaped.
Yeah.
And it's one of the highlight memories of watching your grandfather. I mean, this is the world of, I mean, this is an international stage.
Yeah.
I mean, Newsweek magazine, Time magazine, I mean, CBS News, you know, all that's going on, and I'm getting to be the high school student, you know, hanging out with the politicians. And but because I knew Brother Urshan, because of our family's relationship, you know, my boss is leaning on me. Okay, Miles, how do we do that? You know, and it's a memory that I cherish. Your grandfather was a character. I mean, Yasser Arafat.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no stage he hasn't been on.
There's two stories. I can spend all night talking about this. With the Siberian 7, he went into the embassy, and the Soviet representative said, "We're never going to let them go. You've wasted your time, Mr. Urshan." and Grandpa said, "Surely there's something we can do. Is there some kind of a, you know, deal we can work out? Is there someone we can talk to?" And the man said, "Why don't you pray to your God and see what he can do?" Well, if you knew Grandpa, that'd make you mad.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, "We will pray to our God." And so he goes out, and, you know, then the reality hits you, you know, oh, man, what are we going to do? So they prayed. And they walked into this little store in Moscow. And as they're in this store, they're kind of discouraged, maybe a little downcast about it. I guess we just got to go home and hope for the best. And they heard this big, loud voice talking, this big man talking in a big Texas accent in Russia.
Wow.
"Hey, what are y'all doing? Man, come on over here, check this out right here." You know, real heavy accent. And Grandpa thought, "What's that? It's an American." And he said, "Sir, are you from the United States?" He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I'm an oil man, and I'm here negotiating oil dynamics." And so Grandpa got to talking to him. And he told him while they were there, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "you give me some time, I believe I could wrap this in an oil exchange, and we can get them people out of here."
Are you serious?
And so Grandpa said, "Would you do that for us?" And he said, "We'll do it for you." That man went in and said, "We will not give you these contracts unless you release these people."
Unbelievable.
And they let him go. And so Grandpa said, "We prayed to our God."
That's the kind of man he was. Yes. And I mean, I remember general conferences, him showing up in his white coat.
Yeah.
I mean, he just, so many stories we could tell about N.A. Urshan and the legacy he's left. I was listening on, I believe it was on Holy Ghost Radio not long ago, and they were playing Brother Urshan preaching. And sometimes we forget how great these men of God really were. The public didn't have the opportunity. Today, you can hear anybody preach at any time. Just, you know, get on the internet, get on your phone and listen. But those men would come through, and they impacted their generation.
Oh, there's no doubt they did. And I'll say that even myself, I came into my own in the latter years of my grandfather's ministry. So he was in his, you know, in the 90s, he was in his 70s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's where I really was paying attention. And a lot of people will remember him as the older statesman.
Yeah.
And they'll remember the stories he told. But if you really want vintage in Ayrshire, you get a hold of those 1950, 1960, 1970 Harvest Time Calvary Tabernacle messages. It will peel the paint off the wall. I mean, powerful, powerful.
Well, one of my favorite stories I've heard you tell, and it's quite humorous, but I think the audience would love it, is when you were starting the church in Florida, and you were so excited. Tell that story.
So I was a home missionary. And we started, you know, with little to nothing. It's my wife and my oldest boy, Joseph. And we'd been working probably 3 years, 2 or 3 years, maybe 2 years. We couldn't get anybody to come to church. And those that were just, you know, kind of crazy and very challenging circumstances. It's just like, man, if you're a home missionary, you know what I'm talking about. It's tough. And so we finally... I knocked on a door of a halfway house, and the owner of the halfway house said, hey, we need a place to bring all of our people. You know what? We'll be there Sunday. And that Sunday, 32 people walked in. 25 people walked in, and with all the people that were there, it wound up being 32 people. It was the most we've ever had.
Yeah.
I felt like it was Louisville General Conference, and I was preaching the message of my life. I mean, I was Peter on Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. And so I preached. It was great. It was actual humans were there. And so I go home. I called my dad. I said, Dad, you're not going to believe it. He said, oh, that's wonderful, Nathan. That's great. I called Joel. Dad, he said, that's great. And I called Grandpa. Now, Grandpa's never started a church. He's always pastored big churches. And he didn't preach in little churches often. And if he did, it was as the general superintendent helping out a home missionary. So I called Grandpa. And I said, Grandpa, you are never going to believe what happened. We had 32 in church today. And he said, Nathaniel, don't let that get you down. You're going to go through time. It's going to get better. You hang in there, son. And just demolish me.
That is one of the funniest stories, because I can relate as a church planner that, you know, those times, and boy, God just has a way of bringing you back down.
Well, he'll do it. I will tell you a story about Yasser Arafat. This is an amazing story. And it was a story that was a great time of great trial for Grandpa. He met Yasser Arafat.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a weird way it happened. You know, he was coming through the State Department, and they needed somebody on the presidential delegation that was Middle Eastern. Grandpa was Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
And it just worked out to where Grandpa...
Ur-Shan,
from the land of Ur, the Chaldees. So he goes and he meets him, and Arafat pulls him in, grabs his hand, embraces him, and they snap a picture of it. Mm-hmm. And he calls Grandpa, my brother, my brother. And a lot of Arabs in the Middle East, they have this little saying that our father is the same man, and he was wandering the countryside, and he met many people, and you and I are brothers.
Yeah.
This wandering nomad thing. Well, anyway, he told Grandpa that. What Grandpa wasn't prepared for was when that picture hit the Indianapolis Star, they attacked him.
Yeah.
How could you meet with the head of the Palestinian Authority? And they ridiculed him. They eviscerated him publicly. And it really hurt Grandpa. And for 1 or 2 years, people looked at him sideways. He was connected to a lot of people. In Indianapolis, he was responsible for, you know, Dick Lugar's political career and Mayor Hudnut's political career. He helped politicians up and coming politicians. Well, it really
hit Dan Quayle. Yeah,
they were friends. Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Well, they pushed back on him so hard it really hurt him. So
I was actually with your grandfather and met President Bush.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he was God had placed him in high position.
Yeah. Well, God will use things you wouldn't even imagine he would use. He goes through this. he just kind of puts it in the back of his mind and said, I guess I'll just have to live with the stigma. And he just, you know, endures it. Well, a couple of years later, Grandpa gets a phone call. And the PLA had gone to war with Israel. And it was a Hamas-Hezbollah kind of a dynamic. I think it's Hezbollah that they work with. They had sealed off the border, and our apostolic missionaries, about 8 or 9 of them, were caught on the other side. They couldn't get across. And the PLA was going house to house looking for Americans and looking for Israelis.
PLO or PLA?
PLO?
PLO? PLO.
Palestinian Authority?
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
Well, these missionaries were like on the 7th floor of a building, and they could see them working their way house to house, building to building. And it was just a very short amount of time. One of them had a phone and called Grandpa and said, Brother Urshan, we are trapped. We are trapped on the other side of the border, and we're going to be killed. So Grandpa, he thought, well, you know, I do know some people. So he called Anthony Mangan and said, Brother Mangan, can you get a hold of President Clinton? And he said, I'll try, Brother Urshan. And so Grandpa sat back, and about an hour later, the phone rings. Grandma answered the phone, and on the other end was a woman. The woman said, please hold for the President of the United States. And onto the phone, Bill Clinton comes on and says, Sister Urshan, is Brother Urshan there? And she said, yes, he's right here. And she hands it to him, and Grandpa says, Mr. President, I need to know if you can get a message to Yasser Arafat and tell him his brother needs his help. And he said, I'll try. I will try to get a message to him. 30 minutes later, a huge military convoy piles up in front of that building. Men in black jump out, run to the 7th floor, grab those apostolic missionaries, throw them in the back, peel out, run to the border, and throw them at an Israeli checkpoint and save their lives.
Wow.
And it was from a lazy boy in St. Louis. and that mockery and ridicule he endured was for that moment, and it saved their lives.
Wow, it's an amazing story, but that should not be strange, because through the Word of God we see where God has placed His people in key positions, powers, and authorities to be a light in troubled times.
Yeah,
not only your grandfather, your great grandfather,
yeah,
Andrew Urshan, the stories that. Obviously, that was a generation beyond us. I never had the privilege of meeting him. I wasn't that old.
Yeah, he died in 67, I think.
Yeah, and I was born in 68. But I grew up hearing those stories and the influence in Louisiana. He was revered in that part of the country, and still today. I mean, he made an impact on California. I mean, just incredible things.
So he was one of the founding influences of Angelus Temple. Amy Simple.
Unpack that. I've heard something. I don't know that story.
So, you know, it was post Azusa. Mm-hmm. It was that real, you know, free-flowing, early free Pentecost dynamic. Yeah. I mean, it was just everything you can imagine. It had not formed into what it is, you know, it would form into later.
Yeah.
And he was holding revival services there in Los Angeles with thousands of people in Coliseums.
There was a real hunger on the West Coast at that time.
Oh, man.
It was happening in Oakland. Mm-hmm. B.B. Patton and then Amy Simple McPherson years later, right there.
So
a lot going on.
He was the
here.
Persian evangelist, and the Assembly of God was using him, and so he was in there and he's preaching and they're having big services. Well, he would move on. You know, his ministry mm-hmm. was in Los Angeles. It was in St. Paul, Minnesota. It was in
New York, was
Chicago
it?
And New York.
92nd Street or something like that.
He was tackling the big major metro areas. He had a burden for that. Well, when he left, he needed to turn it over to somebody, and there was an apostolic girl there named Amy McPherson, and he turned it over to her, and that was the Four Square Gospel beginning.
What became wild.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting is my father-in-law, Dr. Wilson, his father went to that church as a young man.
Really?
And yeah, he tells the stories. It'd be interesting to hear Brother Wilson talk about it. His dad would tell Brother Wilson about the crutches and the wheelchairs that were hung on the wall where miracles took place. Yeah. And he would tell it was the post-Azusa that it was real, and that he would talk to, said he would tell, I think he called him Thaniel, you've never seen what I've seen.
It is exactly right.
It's incredible things.
That's how it was, yeah.
So he was, what's his story? Unpack that for this generation. He was from, he was Persian.
He was Persian.
And then there was a Russian connection there, too.
Yeah, there was. He is from the western province of Iran.
Okay.
Which at the time was called Persia. And it's the Azerbaijani province. So Azerbaijan is right above Iran, but there's an Azerbaijani province in western Iran. That's where he was from. It was a small village called Abajalo. And this was right at the time of the Bolshevik Revolution. Okay. It's right as the Ottoman Empire was falling. World War I was coalescing.
Yeah.
And when the Bolsheviks overthrew the Tsars, they withdrew their military forces, which left the Turks and the Kurds unchecked. There was nobody to check them, nobody to hold them.
This is the same time as the Armenian genocide.
Oh, yes. The Armenian genocide had a lesser known genocide. It was the Assyrian genocide, which is basically a Christian genocide.
Okay, yeah.
So when the Russians pulled back, they used that as an excuse to kill Christians, and they did. Grandpa had to run. And this was 1917, 1918. Now, he had already been in the States. He had already preached in the States. He was going back to give the gospel to them, ready to be a martyr.
Wow.
For the glory of God. And so they run for their lives. The family runs for their lives. He winds up crossing into Russia. He loses his passport, and he preaches there for 6 months, and over 1,000, might have been 2,000 people are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost during that time.
There are, as you probably know, Sacramento has a large Slavic community, Ukrainians, Romanians, Russians, and there, when the wall, communist wall, fell, there were thousands and thousands of people that got out of Russia, out of the Soviet Union, that came to Sacramento because there had been a man on shortwave radio that preached out of Alaska on shortwave into Russia, and he was from Sacramento, and so that's why there's so many people that came out of that part of the world here. And in some of those trails, you really begin to talk to them. There are people that we have made contact with here that are generations now, that their first introduction to Pentecostalism was Andrew Urshan.
Oh, yes.
In this community. So,
this is amazing, and we are loving story time. But we're all hungry, so could we wrap this up?
And so we have these interrupting cats that show up from time to time. You've heard of fainting goats. We have interrupting cats.
We're waxing eloquent.
So I guess that ends our God quest. Thank you for being with us.
It's all great to be with you. Let's eat.